If you would, turn with me, first of all, to Mark the 7th chapter. Mark the 7th chapter, we're going to begin the reading in verse 32. Jesus came into contact with a lot of people in his life. As a matter of fact, the record is given unto us in John the 20th chapter, verse 30 and 31, that truly many of the signs did Jesus in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written that we may have hope, that we may have life. It's just untold. Jesus was busy all the time. Jesus was about the work that he was sent to do. He makes a statement in John the 5th chapter, verse 17, "My Father worketh, and I worketh hitherto." He was not here for vacation. He was not here for enjoyment. He was here to do the will of his Father, and he worked at doing that. I want to talk with you this afternoon about two men that he come in contact with. And the first one is here in Mark the 7th chapter. We'll be turning shortly to Mark the 1st chapter. And I want you to note what he told them. I want you to note what he told them. Here in Mark the 7th chapter in verse 32, it says, "And as they brought to him a man who was deaf and had a speech impediment, and they begged him to lay his hands on him. And taking him aside from the crowd privately, he put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue." And just stop there for just a moment. I want you to consider the condition of this individual. And all we can do, because you and I don't have the impediment of speech as being spoken of here, evidently the man was able at one time to speak. Some sort of disease or some condition came upon this individual to cause this condition, along with not only the impediment of speech, but also that he was deaf. And again, unless you have those maladies in your life, all we can do is guess. But I think that we probably have been around some folks that are like that, and we've even maybe read some things in connection with folks that are like that. And it's a very distressing condition that he was in. You think about it for just a moment. He could not communicate. He could not be understood. There had to be frustration built up in that situation. Here you are, and your mind is working. And again, this is just my take on this, but I think that it makes sense. If not, you can tell me later. Your mind is working. You might even know answers to questions that are being asked round about you, but you're not able to communicate that. You cannot express yourself. You can't do that. What is on your chest stays on your chest pretty well. And it's really a very frustrating situation, I'm sure, to be in that condition. Not being able to communicate, not being able to express yourself, not letting other people know what maybe the answer is, something they need to know. You're not able to do that. And what goes along with that sometime, and especially, I think, not so much now, but especially in earlier years, even in our country, someone that had such a condition, not being able to hear and also having the speech impediment, sometimes there were those that equated that with them not being fully capable mentally. And that would cause frustration also. And I'm sure that in his mind he would think to himself, as people would talk about, well, there's no reason to pay attention to him. He's got those conditions and so forth. And he, being able to speak at one time, he possibly could read lips and everything. And here you are, somebody telling something about you that isn't true. I'm not slow of mind. I'm not slow of thought. But I can't express myself. And again, that causes frustration. And then he's bound. He's bound in society. He's bound in his condition. Where if you think about that, he has all of these things where he's really probably not profitable for his family. And in a way, he may not even be profitable for himself. He's in that condition here in Mark the 7th chapter. And he is now in front of Jesus. And he has all those maladies that take place. And we started reading in verse 32. I want to stop that reading there for just a moment. I want you to go with me to Mark the 1st chapter. We're going to start reading there in verse 40. Mark the 1st chapter. And we're going to start reading in verse 40. And this is now not about a man that is deaf with a speech problem. But now we're talking about someone that has an incurable disease that is going to lead to death. He is a leper. He's a leper. And I want you to read it along with me if you would. Beginning verse 40 says, "And a leper came to him, imploring him, and kneeling said to him, 'If you will, you can make me clean.' Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said to him, 'I will.'" Stop there for just a moment. I want you to think about this man's condition. If there was ever a condition on earth that existed, especially back at this time, that was the living dead. It was the disease of leprosy among the Jews. They were under commandment before God, yet could not partake in the blessings of the congregation. They could not be part of the congregation anymore. If there was sin in their life, they could not offer sacrifice because they could not come in contact with anyone. That would certainly cause the priest to be unclean if that particular event took place where he came in contact with the priest and brought a sacrifice. He could not partake of the blessings of the congregation. And as a matter of fact, he was, in a sense, recognized as one that was dead. And again, he was under commandment before God. Any that had leprosy, if they saw someone coming near them, they were to cover their mouth and cry out, "Unclean, unclean," warning them because of this disease in which their bodies would rot away slowly, even as they were living, would ultimately lead to their death. If you look at this man in this condition, he posed a danger to those round about him. He was unable also to provide for his home, for his family, and for himself. He was without hope. And again, if there was the living dead, this was it. Just a terrible situation at that time. Go back to Mark the 7th chapter. And it says there that Jesus took him aside from the crowd privately, put his fingers in his ears, and after spitting, touched his tongue. Verse 34 says, "And looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, 'Ephphatha,' that is, 'Be open.' And his ears were open and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly." Miraculous healing that in that instant, in that moment, took away that which ailed him. He could now communicate. The frustration was gone. He was not bound anymore by this condition that would not allow him to be profitable, not only for himself and his family, but also for society. Cleansed in an instant. Cleansed in an instant. Go back to Mark the 1st chapter. It says, moved with pity, speaking of Jesus in verse 41, he stretched out his hand and touched him and said, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. That condition of being in a danger to all those who were around about him, not being able to provide, he now has that hope. He has hope just in having hope now. And he now has the ability to be profitable for himself, his family, and for the community in a moment, in an instant, from Jesus Christ and what he did. I want you to look at verse 36 and following. It says, "And Jesus charged them to tell no one," this is in connection with the deaf man, "tell no one. But the more he charged them, the more zealously they proclaimed it. And they were astonished beyond measure, saying, 'He has done all things well. He even makes the deaf hear and the mute speak.'" I want you to look in Mark 1, beginning in verse 43. "And Jesus sternly charged him and sent him away at once and said to him, 'See that you say nothing to anyone, but go show yourself to the priests and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded, for a proof to them.' But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news, so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in a desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter." I don't want us to fixate on the disobedience of these two. I want us to really note what had been done for these two and the reaction and what Jesus told them. And we know why he told them. He told both of these individuals, tell no one. Tell no one who did this, what happened to you. Tell no one. Don't let it out. And we understand. The timing was not right for Jesus to be taken. The timing was not right for him to go to trial before the officials. The timing was not right for all that. He, being God, knew that it was not the timing. He knew that his time would take place, but this wasn't it. Here's what I want us to consider. Here are two individuals that are not profitable for themselves, for their family, or for society. That cannot make their own way. Great frustration in the man that is deaf and cannot speak. Surely that condition had to exist. Not able to express himself. Not able to share his thoughts with others. And then this other man that is just as good as dead as far as people were concerned. And he tells these two, tell no one. Tell no one. I want to talk about us now, and we'll get back to this in just a moment. But I want to talk about us, our condition before becoming a Christian. You and me. First of all, we were lost. Paul says in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter and verse 4, if the gospel is hid, it is hid to those that are lost. It's not hid as far as out of sight. It is hid because their hearts and their minds will not be open to the truth, to receiving the truth and understanding the truth and obeying it. And that's what Paul is talking about. Before becoming a Christian, we were lost. We were also in bondage. Romans 8 chapter and verse 15, Paul says, you've not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you've received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Father, Father, Abba, Father. And so when we look at that, we see similarities, don't we, in what we saw with these two men. We also see that in Ephesians, the second chapter and verse 12, we were without hope, being separate apart from the commonwealth of Israel, but through Christ Jesus, now we have hope. But we were without hope before becoming children of God. We were sick and diseased. Romans, the 5th chapter and verse 6. While we were yet without strength, and that word strength there means sick and diseased in weakness. Prior to becoming a Christian, that was our spiritual condition. Just like these two men that we talked about. And some of us may have even been dangerous to others. And I mean that in the spiritual sense. We talked a few weeks back about Timothy's father, a Greek. Acts 16 chapter and verse 3. Evidently, he would have nothing to do with Timothy being taught or observing anything concerning Jewish law. He was uncircumcised until Paul came in contact with him, and before they went out on that second preaching journey. There was a danger in that he was not taught God's word. And not only that, but we also see from James 5th chapter and verse 19 that anyone who turns a sinner away, and he's talking about those that have become Christians but now are not serving God properly, anyone that turns a sinner away from his sin shall save a soul from death and shall hide a multitude of sins. In other words, he's talking about he will stop the dangerous condition and situation for one that returns to the Lord. But that was the condition that we were in. Really, it was a dangerous situation because our actions were saying to others, this is okay. There's not a problem with that. You can be disobedient to God. You can do whatever it is that you want to do. You can lead others the way that you want to do. They can follow your example and everything is all right. That's a dangerous situation. When we look at it, we have exactly the same situation involved, but not from the physical state, but from the spiritual. And then when we look at that, we see an admonition really that comes to us. And it is tell all. Tell everyone. Don't hold back. let everyone know about your healing once you became a Christian, about your spiritual wellness when you became a Christian, about what it is that you should do. Think about that. Matthew 5, verse 14 through 16. Matthew 5, 14 through 16. You are the light of the world, Jesus said. A city set on the hill that cannot be hidden. Nor people do not hide a light under a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a stand, and it gives light to all the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good works and give glory to your Father which is in heaven. Tell everyone. Tell everyone of your healing, the spiritual healing that you receive by obedience through God's word. Philippians 2, verses 15 and 16. That you may be blameless and innocent children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in that day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain. He's talking about his work among them and teaching them. But he makes the thought there once again. Shine as lights in the world. Tell everyone that you have been healed. Tell everyone about your cleansing. Tell everyone now about your hope. Tell everyone, be profitable about your condition before God. Ephesians 4, verse 29. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up or edification, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. Hear because we're telling all. We're letting everyone know. Colossians 4, verses 5 and 6. Walk in wisdom toward outsiders, making the best use of the time. Let your speech always be gracious, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how you ought to answer each person. And that is, make declaration. Tell all. Tell all of the saving power of Christ Jesus. Tell all of the forgiveness through the shed blood of Christ Jesus. Tell all of that bondage that we have been released from. Tell all of the conscience that has been eased because we became a child of God. First Peter 3 and verse 15. But in your hearts, honor Christ the Lord as holy. How do we do that? He says, always being prepared to make a defense to anyone who asks you for a reason of the hope that is in you, yet do it with gentleness and respect. Tell all. Not out of pride. He says, tell all with gentleness, and in telling all, you honor, he says, Christ, the Lord as holy, because you are telling all. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 2. Paul tells Timothy, and what you have heard from me in the presence of many witnesses, entrust to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Don't keep your knowledge to yourself. Tell all. Give them that reason of the hope is in you. Share that with them. And in connection with this particular verse, teach them how to teach. Show them how to be persuasive in the teaching of God's word. Give glory to God in that. 1 Corinthians 14, 24 and 25. But if all prophesy, and an unbeliever or outsider enters, and that word there, prophesy, means to teach. If all teach, and an outsider enters, that is, into the assembly, he is convicted by all, he is called to account by all. The secrets of his heart are disclosed, and so falling on his face, he will worship God and declare that God is really among you. Why? Because we know exactly where he came from. Because we came from that very same place. Without hope, in bondage, dangerous, not profitable to ourselves, to our family, or to anyone else. But we recognize that through the proclamation of God's word, we can be healed, we can be cleansed. No longer in bondage, profitable to all, because we edify all through God's word. Tell all. That's our admonition. I want you to think about this. In these two accounts that we have, Mark 7 and Mark 1, tell no one. They went out and could not refrain from telling everyone. Their joy was uncontrollable. They recognized the change of their condition and the profound effect that it would have on their lives, on their family lives, and on society. They could not keep their mouths shut. They couldn't do it. And all of that over the physical. Yes, dire situations, terrible conditions as far as these are two that were concerned. One even coming back from the dead of sorts. But could not keep their mouths silent concerning Christ Jesus. Here, of course, is the application. You and I have been healed as Christians spiritually. You and I have been released from that bondage. We're not under the curse of death anymore. But we have been given life through Christ Jesus. We're now no longer lost, but now we are saved. We're no longer a sinner, but now we are a saint, sanctified in Christ Jesus through the shed blood and obedience to His will. Let me ask you, can you keep quiet? Can you keep quiet? If you can, you don't know how much you've been forgiven of. And if you can, maybe you don't appreciate how much you've been forgiven of. I'm afraid that there may be some that have rendered obedience to God at some point in time because their families have always been members of the church and just expected of them. They, as the term usually goes, even though it's incorrect, they grew up in the church. And they think they're going to be ushered off to heaven because of that. James, I did not ask you to sing one of those songs that you sang, but boy, did it fit in. Working for the Lord. Working for the Lord. It doesn't take being a scholar in the Greek. It doesn't take that. It doesn't take being able to memorize all the verses that are in Scripture concerning salvation. All it takes is invitation sometime. Maybe something as simple as we see in Acts 8 chapter and verse 30. Do you understand what you read? Do you understand that? I actually use that in the past at Dairy Queen. Young man with three other people were sitting there and they had the Bible open. I walked over and I said, I want to compliment you for carrying God's word and opening it up in a public place. And he said, thank you very much. I said, now let me ask you, do you understand what you read? And he assured me that he did. I said, if you'd like to discuss anything, I'll be sitting right over here. I'd love to do that with you. Maybe I don't understand what I read. It was an opening, a door that was open. I told him, because of the admonition that was given unto me, tell all, tell all. Are we doing that? Or have we this treasure in our salvation through Christ Jesus, and do we keep that hid? I'm going to bury it, as a matter of fact. I'm going to bury this treasure of salvation in the glorious gospel that is given to me as a Christian for me to spread and so forth, but I'm going to hide it. I'm not going to let everybody know about it. You know, that's much like the parable of the talents. One went and hid the one talent that he had, and his master was wroth with him, cast him into outer darkness where there is weeping and gnashing of teeth. That was the command that was given because he would not tell all. That's the application we're making from that. So let me ask you, from a spiritual sense, do you recognize, first of all, if you're not a Christian, do you recognize the hopeless situation that you're in? And it's really not all hopeless because Christ Jesus went to the cross and died for us. It's much more grave situation spiritually that you were in than the man that was even the leper. He was going to pass from this life. He was going to die. He would rot away physically and ultimately die. And those that are not Christians will stand in jeopardy before Christ Jesus when He judges. Because as we find out in John the 12th chapter verse 48, the words that Jesus speaks, the same will judge us in this last day. And I'm going to say, for those of us that are Christians, what Jesus said was, tell all. and we'll be judged on that. Well, I didn't. Looking at that individual, I don't think that they would receive the word. That's what Ananias thought concerning Saul of Tarsus. He's not going to receive the word. He's put Christians into prison. He's not going to. There's not a reason to mention anything to him. He is a militant savage against the cause of Christ, Lord. And the Lord said, "You go tell him what he needs to hear." And Ananias did. "Why do you tarry? Rise and be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord." He told him. So, Jesus tells us, you and me, Christians, tell all. Are we doing that? If there are those that we can help in any way, we ask you to come as we stand and sing.